Hey, Winnie, it's Michael. How are you?
Hey Michael, I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing super. Where are you now?
Like what city or state
Yeah,
or
both. What city? What
geography?
state? Yeah, where are you?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia now.
Oh, wow. So, do you work in Georgia?
I do work here now. I actually moved here recently
Oh, awesome.
myself from Texas.
And you're from Texas originally, right?
Yep, I'm from Texas,
So
from
we're
Dallas.
from Dallas. Wow, so that's real. That's Texas, Texas, isn't it?
It depends what you consider Texas, Texas. Like some people think it's like cowboys and horses, and some people think it's like business. So it depends what you think about Texas.
I think it's kind of a mixture. I think if you dump cowboys into a bucket and mix business into a bucket, that's what Texas is to me. But remember, I'm different, right? Because I'm American, but I have not lived in the States in 30 years. And, I grew up in the Northeast, which now has started to make me feel embarrassed. I don't know why. But anyway, Texas is real.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. So tell me, where did you go to school? You went to school in Texas as well. So born and raised in Texas, and then you went to school in Texas too, yeah?
Yep, so I went to Texas A&M for undergrad, and then I actually just finished grad school back in May, and I also did that in Texas.
So is this a thing? Tell me, is this like a Texas thing? And I don't know, right? I'm just trying to learn. But like I was, born in California, raised in Massachusetts, went to school in Connecticut, went to high school in Pennsylvania. And I guess maybe if you just combine them all together, they're about the size of Texas. But it just seems to me like, you're born in Texas, you undergrad, grad in Texas. But the interesting thing to me is then you said, I'm going to go on an internship that's really far away. How did that happen? Like, was there a program at A&M? Like, how did you find out about the next step stuff?
Well, I just found it through Googling, actually.
What does that mean, though? That means you were looking for a place to go. You're like a sophomore or a junior and saying, I'm going away for the summer kind of thing.
So actually, I had already graduated at this point and from undergrad, and I
Oh.
was working as a civil engineer. And so the story is kind of funny here because
Tell me.
I was trying to get into the fashion industry. So I didn't have any experience in it, and I thought that it would be a good experience for me to look for an internship where I could get some experience and see if it's something I wanted to do. And also for me, looking at Hong Kong specifically, that's where I did the internship, was kind of strategic for me because I am Cantonese, and so it was also an avenue for me to practice my Cantonese
Yeah, good
and learn a little
idea.
bit more about my own culture. So that was the logic there.
Yeah, so a lot of times, at least in my experience, right, I've seen, and I'm going to use the term kids because I'm talking about 10 or 11 year olds, right? Not obviously 23, 24, 25 year olds, but a lot of time kids like you, right? So you said you're Cantonese, so I'm going to presume that means you have family in Hong Kong or at least in the southern part of China. Their families will then send them from whether it's, California or Texas or Illinois to stay with their grandparents or something like that. Did you ever do that when you were a kid?
We did visit my relatives back then, but no, I was never sent there to be over there because I think there were more opportunities in America from my parents' perspective. They moved from Hong Kong
Right.
to create a life here, so
Yeah.
it would have not made sense for them to do that in their mind, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, I see both sides of it, right? But there is a lot of that experience of let's just send you back somewhere so you can get the language, the culture, and just understand, like, you think what's going on in your house is not normal, but here's a whole sense of normalcy back in Hong Kong or wherever it is, right? I just find that thing really. But so you had a different internship experience than a lot of students in the sense that you were going to a place that you were already at least slightly familiar with, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd only been there twice before, so it's not that I was like extremely familiar
Sure,
with
sure,
it.
sure.
It and also going more so as a independently, I think
Yeah.
was a big difference as well.
Very different. And
But yeah, I felt more comfortable
do you know what I mean?
knowing the
Because,
language and things.
yeah, do you know what I mean? Because sometimes, kids will go, from Atlanta or whatever, and they'll end up in, pick a place, Japan, Thailand, wherever, and they'll just be like, oh my God, this is so foreign to me. But you didn't have that type of experience because you'd at least been there before, you'd gotten off the plane before. You'd eaten the f so those surroundings were relatively relatively, right? Straightforward for you.
Yeah, it wasn't anything that I was extremely surprised by. In the cultural aspect, I think things I kind of was familiar with, but didn't experience it firsthand as much on my own. Mm-hmm. But there were things that I saw that I think being in a working environment definitely is something that was unique, because I wouldn't have been able to see that just going there as a tourist, visiting my relatives or things like that.
No way. So tell me, how was that different? Like, what was that experience actually like? And what kind of place? You worked at a fashion place, right? That was on purpose, obviously.
Yep, that was on purpose. I was trying to see if it was something I wanted to do in the future.
Right. So go ahead. Tell me, what was that like? Just day to day, getting up every day, going to work in a place.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the biggest things, me being from Texas, is that I drive myself everywhere. So that was a big difference.
I hadn't thought about it, actually. You get in a car every day and drive somewhere in here. Where did you live in Hong Kong?
So I was at the Kowloon side.
Got it. Okay.
So you had to, not on the island side.
No, I understand. Mm-hmm. So you had to take the ferry to get to work?
I had to ride the longer portion of the train. There's a subway that goes out there, yep. But I had to go to the longer side of it. Yeah. So I had to change a couple times to get to the island side, because I was working on the island side. Huh. Yeah. So that was a big difference. I mean, it took a long time to get there, but I actually kind of liked it, because you feel healthier.
But isn't it weird, right? Like, you're commuting, and how old were you at the time? This was what, 2015, right? So you're still not like in your 30s. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're commuting. What does that feel like? You're not that far removed from college. It's just weird, no?
Yeah, well, it was fun. I mean, it was like being part of the, I don't know, you're like part of the crowd. You're doing life. You're like with the working people. You're squished against other people because it was summer and sweaty. So
it was actually the working kind of people. That's so good.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's a different way of doing life. Just the commuting aspect was even different for me, at least. I know that's not, you're from the Northeast, so it's probably something you're used to, but Yeah, I was used to that.
Very much so. And remember, when I was in high school as well, I would, you know, drive a car because I lived in the suburbs. But as soon as I started working, I lived in New York and then I lived in Tokyo. So for me, getting on a subway in the summer with the heat, with a bunch of other people that I didn't know, I had a similar experience. And I thought to myself a lot, like, what am I doing? It's just so different, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really different.
So how was work?
Work was good. I think one of the things I noticed a lot about it also was people there in, I don't know if it's all of Asia, but in Hong Kong, there are not really topics that are politically incorrect to talk about.
Really?
So they'd ask me about like my political beliefs or like religion or like really personal things that I feel like you wouldn't ask somebody in America in a work setting. Unless you got to know them, it's after work or you're at happy hour or something somewhere. Like that, or yeah, you hang out. Yeah, but it's not something you ask in the office, just casually like turn to your neighbor and be like, hey, so do you support this person? Or like, what do you think about that person? Or how do you view this current agenda that they have in the US? And I'm like, well, this is not how we talk at work. And it was kind of surprising to me. I didn't expect that.
But how about at school? So you had said you just graduated, but like at school, I guess you'd been there for a while, right? So with your friends, you're comfortable talking about whether it's local politics, state politics, or national politics. But even that, there are topics at work that you just never breach, right? Like,
yeah, you don't, because you're at work.
What was it like? What did you do? Like, did you answer? Or did you just say, I just think I'm going to keep that to myself? Like, because they're older than you probably, right, as well?
Yeah, no, I didn't answer because I felt like I don't want to do anything that's wrong or off or offensive. And I don't know the standard. And I think even though I am ethnically of the same culture, I don't even know culture, but yeah, ethnically fine. The same, I'm not culturally the same. And so I actually didn't expect that. And I didn't want to do anything wrong or say anything that was offensive. So I I don't really have an opinion on that. Or I don't feel like I want to share that, maybe. So just kind of said it like that.
But culture is one of those things, right, that you can't explain until you experience it. Do you know what I mean? In other words, like, even if you're not parents, but even if like your friends and your family had kind of not warned you, but just said like, here are certain things you can expect, you'd be like, yeah, sure, I get that. But maybe that's just your generation. But then you get there and you just have this really interesting exposure to a local culture. Like, what does that mean to you now? When you think about going to a new place, right? Like, Georgia's not Texas. It's not as different as Texas to Hong Kong, but it's still different, right? Mm-hmm. Like, does it change the way you're open-minded, your perception about things? How does that work?
I think it does open up myself to different experiences, and it makes me more understanding of people, because I think how you perceive your surroundings is so much based on the culture you grew up in, what you're surrounded by, your environment, even what society that culture is rooted in.
Right.
It was interesting because at the time I was in Hong Kong, they actually were having a lot of riots on the streets because of their turmoil, political unrest with China.
So the summer of 2015 definitely did see some political turmoil, you know, democracy protests, and what's going to mm-hmm. happen between Beijing and Hong Kong and leadership changes and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not something I think I'd never seen that before, honestly. That's not something I'd experienced in Texas. So I think it was eye-opening to see that things are not what you always think they are. And I know you can know it in your head, but to be surrounded by it is, I think, a healthy thing. And it opens up your mind to different perspectives. And I think more people need to do it because, just transparently, I'm not the biggest fan of Georgia right now, but I just moved here and I'm also Texan. So most Texans don't like anything except for Texas.
Exactly. Fair enough, though, right? It's probably nothing. It probably says less about Georgia than it says about Texas, but fair enough, right? Again, it's a new experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess what I'm finding in Georgia, at least the people, maybe I just haven't met enough people at this point. I'm still fairly new, but I don't feel like a lot of people have traveled a lot. And the people that are, there kind of seems to be two distinct buckets of people who are very from another country or area and moved in, and people who just grew up here and stayed here forever. And I definitely think that the people who haven't ever gone outside of what they're culturally familiar with don't have as much understanding to when people think differently. They don't seem to have as much grace, or they don't seek to understand as much why somebody might think that way or feel that way or do things that way. And so I think it's healthy to step outside of what you know and experience it.
Yeah. What do you think it is about traveling itself? Just like getting on a plane and going to a different country. Like, what are the sort of minute details about that, do you think, that makes you have to think differently? That's different than just going from, let's say, Texas to Tennessee, for lack of a better question.
Logistically, there's a lot of things you have to think through, like visas and currency. Safety.
You didn't feel unsafe in Hong Kong, though, did you? Hong Kong's a pretty safe place. I mean, I've been there a lot, but
yeah, no, I didn't feel unsafe at all. I mean, if it was like the middle of the night and kind of deserted, then I probably shouldn't be there. But I mean, just being common sense person is it's a fairly safe place. I never felt unsafe there.
No, I mean, and I think that's. And were you living by yourself? Like, you weren't living with your family, were you, when you were there?
I had a little bit of a weird situation, but I actually was living with a family friend.
Oh, okay.
And and so she didn't live there, though. She just had a house there. And so I lived with her maid. She cooked for me. It was great.
So you had like a classic, typical intern experience in Asia.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I think it's great that it's okay to have a maid there. Like, it's not seen as like, they're paid, they're treated well, they can live with you, and you know, it's part of life. It's not how it is in the US.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, there's a completely different dynamic, both economic and cultural, that exists, not just in Hong Kong. Singapore's the same way. Japan has a similarity too, so does Bangkok. But it's just interesting the fact that like that's just the accepted norm. And yeah, treated well, but you know, just interesting, mostly from another country too. So do you carry this with you? Like when you were there, did you feel yourself going home at night? Because if you're alone, right, you're with the maid. I'm sure you were talking to the maid. But did you get home at night and just think, wow, today was really wild. Like somebody actually asked me how much my rent was. I didn't know what to say. And I didn't know whether that was normal or not. Do you know what I mean? Like, did you feel that sort of change in yourself over time?
Yeah, I think there were moments where, well, one, I was kind of lonely, so that was because I didn't know who to hang out with, so that was one thing. But yeah, I did feel like there were certain things where I thought I knew what it was like, and then I realized I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. So it was good for me, like slowly, progressively over time, I was seeing things both good and bad. But I think it's good to see all of it, to know that you don't know what you think you know.
And does that feed through to the rest of your life? Do you know what I mean? In other words, now, or even when you were in business school, and now that you're working in a completely different state and city, when you encounter a new situation, do you feel like, I'm so glad I did that thing in Hong Kong, that internship with Next Step in Hong Kong, because it made me aware acutely that what I thought was reality maybe wasn't always reality. And it means that now when I encounter a new experience, I have to kind of open my mind a little bit and say, slow down. Mm-hmm. What am I really seeing? Definitely. What's really going on here?
Mm-hmm. I definitely think it opened me up. I also think it prepared me for moving out of state, which I know it wouldn't be as crazy as moving overseas, but it still prepared me because, I was there alone. Like I said, I didn't know anybody else because the family friend wasn't there. The maid didn't really speak Cantonese much, only a little bit. And she didn't speak English. I could only communicate through Cantonese. And I had to figure out how to do things differently because life is different. The way you do life is different. Where you find food is different. Grocery shopping, talking to people, social norms, like it's all different. And so I think it actually prepared me for this move that I just have recently experienced, because as much as I'm in the same country, things are still different.
They are.
Like finding my way around, it takes effort and I have to navigate things. And so I think it did prepare me for this in some ways, to just anticipate that it's not going to look the same and that's okay, but I have to figure out and be resourceful and be patient also, because things do come with time.
Yeah, and patience is actually a real interesting word, right? Particularly in this context, because when you're in a new environment, you can't expect people to come over to your style of behavior, and you have to be patient and understand, okay, I'm going to have to get used to this, or I'm going to have to get out of here. It's really interesting, right? And the United States, right, is a uniquely large country, particularly the way the borders are organized, right? You can move from state to state without much friction, but the states are really different, right? Tennessee is not Connecticut, you know, Chicago is not Dallas. It's a very different place and it's really diverse. So moving from one place to another, you know, and sometimes does feel like moving to a different country. And I think that experience of living in Hong Kong, and let's talk about this too, like Kowloon and Hong Kong Island may as well be two completely separate places, particularly if you were living a little bit further out in Kowloon, like closer to the new territories, because do you know what I mean? And it's hard to explain again to people that haven't been there, but you know, that part of Kowloon further probably north, I'm guessing, is not necessarily as cosmopolitan and as international as Hong Kong Island itself, depending on where you were working, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I saw that. It was really cool. I remember one day I was walking back from work and I got off the train and then I was going back to the place where I was staying in Kowloon, and it's very rural.
Yeah.
And there was a man fishing on a bridge. Like that was the walkway to where
How awesome is that?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. And then he got a fish. People started gathering around him and they all got excited. And like, it was probably a crowd of 15 people. And it was just this big ordeal. He started getting the fish out, pulled it out. And they were all just like, wow, like so awesome. Look how big, like making all these comments. Everybody was so excited for him. And I thought it was so cute. I actually stayed there too, because I was like, I've never seen people stop for somebody who was fishing in a creek, but that's just the cutest thing. I really liked it. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. It's so amazing the way, like, you kind of what's the right word, right? Have you? I hate to reference this, but you've not read Joseph Conrad's *The Heart of Darkness*, right? It's kind of a sort of dark book, but there's a point in the book where like you feel like you become part of the locals, right? And it's like your heart starts beating in unison with the local people, and that's a really important experience to have, even on an internship. How long was yours? 6 weeks? 8 weeks?
Yeah, about that. 6 to 8 weeks. Right, I don't remember. Something
but think
like
about
that.
It. It didn't take that much time for you, right? Mm-hmm. As a young lady with an open mind, that's important, right? Mm-hmm. To see that fishing thing and then just become part of it. It's with you forever, right?
Yeah, and it's weird. It was such a random – it was like it's such a small thing in some ways, but it just represented what life is like there in so many ways. And so – I do remember it, and I think just because it was so unique, like that's something you wouldn't see. especially being from the city. Yeah. I wouldn't see that. People don't care. People don't care if you're getting a fish. They're going to get it from the grocery store.
I was going to say, there's a fish in aisle four, right? Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's normally up against the wall because that's where the refrigeration is. But anyway, so where did you get...
It's frozen.
Yeah, exactly. It's frozen. And probably from China. Where did you get off the train on the Hong Kong side, just out of curiosity?
Let me think. The English name, Diamond Hill.
Diamond Hill, yeah. What was it in Cantonese? I'm just curious.
Jun Sexan.
Okay. I mean, I lived in Hong Kong for 4 or 5 months, so just relatively familiar with the geography. So, mm-hmm. And are you a Cantonese speaker? Does that mean that there was Cantonese spoken in your house when you were a child?
Yeah. So I grew up, I guess, like a lot of traditional Asian families might grow up. And so my grandparents lived with us. They awesome. Helped to raise me. My parents both worked and they took care of me at a young age, probably more than my parents did, just because they had more time to pick me up from school, go to my events, things like that. So I spoke to them in Cantonese because they only spoke Cantonese. And I think that's, a lot of the reason why I wanted to go to Hong Kong, because it's such a big part of my life. And to know that my parents came over here to want to make a better life for us in terms of just the difficulty of the economy and things like that, just wanting to give us more opportunities. So for me, I wanted to go back and see what it's like over there too, not to say it's good or bad, but just it's different. And so I wanted to see that. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's an interesting comment, right? Not to see whether it's good or bad, but just to see the difference. And I think that that's like maybe the most important thing about doing one of these international internships, right? Is you have to see the difference. You have to know, like, when you watch the news about a foreign country, and it doesn't matter whether it's Hong Kong or China or Japan or Thailand or anywhere, but you have to know that there's what you're hearing and what's real are maybe two different things. And the only way to really know is to go and experience it. And that experience, I think, is kind of with you forever. At least it changed my life. I'm sure at some level it's changed yours as well, no?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think it's something everybody, if they have the resources to do it, should do. If they don't, they should figure out how to get resources to do it. I think it's something that people need to be open to, because even as the economy, like global economy grows, globalization is occurring. If you're not getting exposed to other cultures, even in a working environment, but at least in a tourist environment, but in a working environment, it's even better, because it makes yourself more marketable as a person as the world continues to shift and things become closer together with technology and globalization. I think it's very important for people to experience it. And I think Next Step Connections is a great way for people to do that.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point too. So you said you wanted to get into the fashion world, right? You thought Hong Kong was a great place to do it. And there's a massive fashion business, both in that southern part of China, right, in the new territories, but also in Hong Kong itself proper. So when you were done with that, did you think like, okay, I want to go into fashion. I'm going to go back to the United States, get my MBA, and then go into fashion again. Like, what are you doing now? What was the move to Atlanta?
So it was an open door for me to try to see if fashion was what I wanted to do. But I studied engineering in undergrad. So to do that would have been, I think, a very risky thing because it's definitely less stable. So I went to get my MBA as just a way to explore, like, is this something I want to pursue further? Do I want to start my own business, or do I want to move into a business type role that's not engineering, maybe not fashion, but just kind of opening myself up to opportunities. So I moved to Atlanta because I ended up getting a supply chain job at a corporate for a quick service restaurant. So that's where I am now. And it's not quite fashion, but it's still something where, it's not fashion at all. It's still something where.
I was going to say, it's not even not quite fashion. It's just not fashion, but still.
Yeah. It's just food. Yeah. But I think it's still something, like you said, like it's something that will stay with me forever. It's something that I don't regret doing. I love the experience. I would do it again. I think it prepared me, even though it wasn't necessarily a linear pathway to what I'm doing now. I definitely think it has helped me to get where I am now.
You've just said so many amazing things. Sorry. And I wanted to bring this. No, I mean it. So life is not linear, right? At any level. I mean, ask your parents when they were little kids, ask them, did you think you'd be living in Texas? Ask your grandparents, right? There's no way. There is no linearity to life in the sense that you kind of have to, in some way, take it as it comes, but also drive it to a place that you want to be. And the fact that you've learned that through all of these experiences is actually amazing. And what I think is really cool, so logistics and supply chain stuff is so important to the economy, whether it's just in the United States or globally. Like, how have you found that? I mean, I guess you've been doing this for a little bit, right? I guess you did the same thing at Johnson for a little bit. No, I don't know.
Actually I did. So maybe being at the fashion company, which was, it was a manufacturing company and sourcing for Tory Burch. And so that's where I was. It actually did help me because that is a little bit, I mean, that is what I'm doing now. So even though I didn't do it very long, just having that on my resume, it did connect. It was fashion. It was sourcing for a fashion company. And so now I'm actually doing procurement, which is sourcing. And so it does relate now that I think about it.
Yeah, no, I think it's really cool, actually. And supply chain, so think about trying to running a business and the efficiencies that are embedded in the supply chain. Like Apple, one of the things that Apple does really well is it manages its supply chain. Like how else could you sell 70 million iPhones a quarter? Mm-hmm. But remember, Michael Dell pioneered this, you know, back in the late 80s with Dell, obviously, completely blowing away other tech and computer companies by managing that supply chain in a way that nobody had thought of before. And the great thing for me about logistics, so I'm an investor in a logistics company in Southeast Asia, but the great thing for me about cool. this is that, yeah, it's really super cool. But the great thing for me is that, like, it in a way, the product itself, the end product, right, it matters a bit, but it's getting and managing that chain of supplies that's completely transferable. Like, you could move from this role to a role, again, at Hanhai. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no difference, really. It's just like, where does it start? How do I get it all to the factory? From the factory, how do I get it all to the distributors? From the distributors, all that. It's so interesting, no?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like supply chain. I'm glad this is one of the things I was really interested in when I did my business degree. So I think it's very transferable, and I'm happy at my job right now. So I like it.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Look, it's late for you. I don't want to take up so much of your time. Mm-hmm. This has really been a super insightful conversation for me. I feel like I've learned a lot.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I had a lot of fun talking to you.
Yeah, I wanted to
I'm
say.
Glad we got to chat.
I'm really glad we got. We should do this again, actually.
I'm down. Sounds good.
Super. We should follow up. Anyway, I really wanted to thank you very much, Wunne Wu. It was really awesome talking to you.